Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever you may be. You can do it by calling that number. You can also go on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and write in your story, if you so choose to, and know how to use periods and commas. It's always helpful. Also, you can email the audio file if you want to just send it to us via your smartphone. Just record it there and then send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's the way to get the stories to us. As a reminder, every Wednesday at 4 o'clock Central, we do the live episode on Facebook. So be sure to mark that down on your calendars to join us on Facebook Live every Wednesday, 4 o'clock Central, new time for the live episodes. Joining us on the program today as a guest host is, well, you know, we never even discussed this before we went on the air. I just am realizing this. And this is the first time I'm probably calling you by your real name on the air is Sean. And Sean, we didn't discuss on air names.
I have never heard you call me by my name on my birth certificate. I'm glad we could have this moment together and all of your followers and listeners.
It's a first because forever on the air when I've shared stories of us before as you being Gooch. That was the on-air name that you used years and years ago. And as with radio people, we tend to like never change each other, never stop calling each other by, I think, the first name that we ever knew each other by.
Yeah, thanks. It is still now a part of my present life. I thought that was deep in the history, in the rearview mirror, as they say. But nope, it's back here in 2018. Thanks, Tony.
You thought I could just completely not tell the story without saying the name? And we got to
absolutely. Well, I had hoped.
So what's the on air last name? Because I only know you as Gooch. So what are we?
Reed.
Okay.
Reed. John Reed. That's a very fun radio name.
That's what I thought.
Right?
That's what I thought. Okay. So Sean Reed going forward, I will no longer use the G name ever again on the air, but I can't promise I won't say it in off the air life. But Sean is joining us as our guest host tonight here on Real Ghost Stories Online. And you yourself, you've never been on this show before from what I remember, right? Even when you've been visiting or...
I haven't. I definitely have had some stories and some situations that I've wanted to kind of ask your thoughts on, but I've never had the opportunity to share them to all the listeners here when they are tuning in, however they're tuning in. And there's actually one, Tony, before we get into it, that it happened this Memorial Day weekend.
What happened over the Memorial holiday?
So we met in the world of radio, and it's a very small world of dysfunctional people that enjoy talking to themselves in padded wall roomed. So, padded wall rooms, which I think is a psych ward, but in the world of radio, that's just a studio, and we get paid. So that is how we met. And in radio stations and in buildings, some of them are very old, can be upwards of 100 years old. And along the way in my radio career, and we've discussed before off air, there have been ghosts and such in buildings, specifically where I currently work, came in on the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, and let alone radio, but all industries, not a lot of work going on weekends, specifically holiday weekends. So I had gone in there, I had to take care of something, and it's a very small building. The stairwell right by the employee entrance, there's about maybe two flights of stairs totaling 14 steps in all. And the parking lot was empty, no cars. Usually we have one or two folks that clean our building or our engineer, but there was no cars in the parking lot, excluding mine. And I had gone upstairs, took care of what I needed to take care of, went downstairs, and I was leaving, and I could very distinctly hear the door in the second floor hallway open. Second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, mm-hmm. close. And it's one of those that you hear a noise so often that you just, I just heard something. It was a absolute definitive, I thought somebody walked to the radio station, maybe took their bike, because they were in the building.
Yeah.
Went back upstairs, I looked, absolutely nothing. Nobody was there.
So what goes through your mind at that moment? Are you thinking, this is my good excuse to leave? Or like, what, are you scared? Are you like, what are you thinking?
You know, it's very interesting. I'd like to think that my first thought was checking to see if I used the restrooms in my pants, but that wasn't. It was absolute curiosity. Now, I think the fact that it was at 2 p.m, opposed to, say, you know, after a concert or a station event, closer to 11, midnight, 1 a.m. when it was dark, I absolutely believe I would be a bit more. Oh my goodness! I went up. I almost turned into an investigative reporter. Mm-hmm. I was just looking for some absolute concrete evidence. I actually waited about 5 more minutes before I ended up leaving the building and went on with my afternoon to see if it would happen again.
Yeah.
Now, what I do know is several colleagues have made references to the friendly ghost, I might add, in our building. And here's the ironic part of the story, Tony, as you called me by my name for the first time, I think, since we've known each other. The ghost's name?
Sean?
Sean. It's his name.
Interesting. Any reason why it has that name? Did they connect it to somebody?
That is an ongoing question that I'm going to get answered. I think I've talked with 5 different colleagues, and they've given me 5 different reasonings of how the name came to be. But from what I understand, it's a family-run company. There's 3 radio stations in our building, and it's a family-run business. And apparently when our current boss, who's 93 years old, he bought the radio stations. One of the initial employees back then was just 1 radio station, a part-timer. His name was Sean. So that is, from what I gather, that seems to be the most credible reasoning of sorts. I've heard a few other just outlandish stories, but that he happened to just work in the building, obviously since passed on. Yeah. And I think all of us in radio, Tony, we may get other jobs, but we always want to keep 1 foot in the door, per se. Mm-hmm. I think Sean is still pulling a weekend shift, and I happened to show up when he was just getting off.
He's just there, still doing his thing. You know, I remember, I've heard a lot of stories like that of many stations, even the last station I worked at when I was in Wichita, there was a lot of deaths in that building. And I don't know why. They were fairly of natural causes. No one was like murdered in the basement or anything. Although BTK worked right down the road. But that's a whole other story.
Comforting.
Exactly. Yeah, very comforting. But it was just like heart attacks, things of that nature. But several. I think it was like 3 or 4 people that have died in the building in the last, I don't know, 20, 25 years. And then some very sensitive people would say, you know, they saw so-and-so or they could hear so-and-so. I myself, honestly, I never felt anything weird in that building. And I don't consider myself a super sensitive person to that stuff, but I can usually, if I'm like a 1 to 10 on, you know, sensitivity, and maybe a 1 or a 2, like I can kind of sense something, but that's where it ends. Some folks to the point of like seeing some folks, like even in leisure suits of what they would have used to have worn. What I get with some of those places, though, when you have a haunted or haunting activity, especially a workplace, where people are really passionate about something like radio. It's one of those things where if you like it, you got to love it, essentially, to stay in it and keep doing it, because the money is horrible and the hours are bad.
And well, it's funny when you mentioned the heart attacks. I just thought, since radio folks don't get paid the most, that they were eating some food that was given out that the expiration date passed.
Exactly.
But this is free. So am I going to pay for food or gas?
I mean,
hot dog. I mean, it's not green in its entire.
it's kind of edible. Yeah,
these Pringles are still kind of good.
That's radio. That's radio life. And, you know, but the thing is, it's the passion that, that still drives. So I think in a lot of times when you have the haunted radio station stories, is these folks are still just as just enjoying it just as much in death. And that's why I don't think radio stations, for the most part, don't really have a very spooky vibe to them, even if they have a resident ghost, because I think if they're still there, they're still really loving what they're doing.
That is a absolutely 100% valid point. You don't hear a lot of patients of dentist office ghosts. I don't think you have a lot of passion for getting a drill into your gum. You don't hear that often.
No, you don't.
You don't hear a lot of morticians haunting funeral homes.
Although, wouldn't you have to with some of those careers? Wouldn't you have to be like really dedicated to do that for a living? I
don't discount that. I just think that they're busy enjoying their kind of their favorite customers, if you will, in the afterlife. And they don't go back to the actual workplace of the funeral home. They're just hanging out somewhere else.
Like, Morty, you look just as good as I made
good
you up to be.
Ya.
Yeah, you look
now,
just
that embalming fluid. I apologize. That was a bit rough. I didn't warm you up before. I just went right in there. But that's okay. I mean, technically, you're already dead. So I feel like I'm going to hurt you. Let's go on a cruise ship and give some of these patrons a rise. Let's surprise them right in the middle of the night. Peekaboo! Hey. Yeah, I don't think that, you know, if you had to pull a 40-hour a week, I don't think you're going to want to go back and haunt your workplace. I think you enjoy it with your fellow, they said, customers who bit the dust.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony. This is Jessica from Pennsylvania. I've called before. It's been a while. But something just happened to me a few days ago, and I wanted to call and talk about it. I actually made a video regarding it and posted it in the Facebook group, and I got some really good feedback, but I wanted to actually tell you guys what happened. So whenever I take a shower, I have a very specific place that I place my socks. There's a table outside my bathroom door. I always put them there. So I went in, I took a shower, I came out, got dressed. I went to get my socks. Socks were gone. And at first I was like, okay, well, that's weird. I thought maybe they fell on the floor, but I had unballed them. So it's like, well, if they fell on the floor, they didn't roll. But I looked, and they were not on the floor. I looked behind stuffed animals. I looked in the bathroom. I looked in the closet. I looked on the bed, under the sheets, in the pillows, in the hamper. My husband came up and he looked around. And, my dog was not in the bedroom because the door was closed. My husband swears up and down that he's not screwing with me. And they've yet to reappear. So they're gone. And if they did reappear, they appeared re-balled up and back in my sock drawer. So, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know where they went. I don't know if that was them that were re-balled up back in the sock drawer, because I think I have two pairs of the same sock, but I don't know. I don't remember. So, yeah. So that was fun. And I don't really know what to make of that, but they still have yet to show back up. And this happened on Saturday, and it's Thursday now. So if I never see them again, that's totally fine. But if they do randomly show up, I'll call and give an update. So I love you guys' show. I also love the Grave Talks. I'm an EPP. Keep up the great work, guys. I love you so much. Thank you guys so much for what you do. All right, hope to hear this on the show. See you later. Have a great day. Bye.
I think worst case scenario here would be she wakes up in the middle of the night and she's wearing the socks, and then something put them back on her in the middle of the night. What would be your worst case scenario for finding the socks?
My question is, are they the no-show or the knee-high? Because if they're the quarter length,
yeah.
I mean, no worries. So that's a Tuesday around these parts.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine? You wake up to grab a drink of water, her feet hit the floor in her bedroom, and she looks down, and there are the socks.
And the thing is, it could happen to any item. I mean, socks, it does sound kind of silly, but this happens so often where, like, stuff just goes away that you know you had it there. Where did it go? I mean, I could see being just as troubled myself. Like, I always have a cup of water by my bedside at the bedstand. And if for some reason, you know, I wake up in the morning and it's gone, I would be pretty troubled by that too, knowing, and I'd search, like, well, did I take it to the bathroom, this or that? And if it's nowhere to be found, I don't know what I'd make of it. It would be a very weird experience.
This happened probably about 2 years ago now. My car keys.
Mm-hmm.
Couch cushion, table, top of the fridge. Sure, absolutely. The keys were in the second dresser drawer in my bedroom.
What?
What? And it's one of those things, I don't know the actual definition of the actual drawers in a dresser, because come on now, you do your laundry, you fold it, you put it on top of your dresser.
Yeah.
Like a nice thing. You don't actually use the drawers. So I believe the last time I used the drawers was the last time I moved the dresser and had to take the drawers out. So 2.5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
We both get paid to talk for a living. I don't have words to give reasoning of how that would come to be, how that would happen.
And there was no one there in the house. You didn't have anybody visiting that, like, would have seen him on the floor and just thrown him in there quick or anything like that?
Me, myself, and I.
Wow.
It is. And I mean, back in college and the early days of radio, I mean, I still owe you a lamp, which
you
we
do.
Can talk about that more at a different date. But mm-hmm. You have some crazy nights. You have some crazy afternoons. No, it was just a normal day, and was trying to leave for work, actually, and running late, and then you know you have to look absolutely everywhere. And finally I thought, I hope this doesn't happen to her where she wakes up in the socks.
Yeah.
On her feet. My phone would have to be close by, because I believe a 911 call would be
I'd be freaking out.
I would have a heart attack.
Yeah.
I would having a heart attack.
That would be the most bizarre 911 call too. It's like, what's your emergency? Well, socks are on my feet.
I have a pair of socks, quarter length, on my feet. They are correctly. The L is on my left foot. The R is on my right. Hello?
Ma'am, what seems to be?
Hello?
This is 911. Why are you calling us?
Yeah. I went to bed with bare feet.
Let's go another caller and hear another ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. My name is Bailey. I wanted to share a story with you about an experience that I had about 6 years ago. At the time, I was in college, and my parents lived about 30 minutes away from campus, so I went home every other weekend, do free laundry, and just kind of get away from my roommate and just spend time with family. So my parents have a three-story home. It's over 100 years old, and I'm sure there's a lot of history about it that I don't know about. But I did have several creepy experiences. The first one that I had was actually an experience that my sister had. And at the time, her bedroom was on the third floor. Now, the third story consists of two bedrooms and a bathroom. And then there's a little closet inside of one of the bedrooms that is like a crawl space area, but that's where my parents choose to keep all of their Christmas decorations. And you actually have to go into the closet, remove a piece of wood to get into the closet that's in the closet. And I always thought that was just kind of creepy and weird. But my sister was in that room with the closet in the closet. And she at the time had a waterbed, and she would always talk about how she would wake up in the middle of the night and her bed would be shaking, and she could just kind of brush it off because it was a waterbed. It doesn't take a lot for a waterbed to get moving. So, but my sister eventually moved out, and then I moved into that room, and I did not have a waterbed. I had a normal mattress and a box spring. So when I started sleeping in that room, I would wake up in the middle of the night and feel my bed shaking enough to where it would wake me up. But when I would wake up, it would stop. Obviously, when I left for college and was in my dorm room, I wasn't having that same experience because whatever it was wasn't following me, and it was clearly only in the house. I never got a feeling that it was something mean or malicious. It was just kind of like a, I'm going to mess with you and scare you type of thing. But it was definitely weird. So when I would visit back home and sleep in my room while in college, I would experience the same thing. And there was one night I woke up with I felt my bed shaking, and I swear I saw a kid's head peeking up over the side of my bed, and he had brown curly hair, and he was a lighter skin person, and then I blinked and it was gone. So, and it was one of those moments where I was like, well, that was weird. Is it a kid messing with me or what's happening? And then I thought, well, I just woke up. I could have been, you know, still dreaming and trying to wake up. So I didn't think anything of it, and I chose to ignore it. Well, about 2 weeks after that happened, my friends introduced me to this app that you can download on your phone called a Sleep Talk app. And what it does is it records throughout the night, but it picks up recordings, and you can listen to it the next morning, but it only plays if it's like a higher frequency or if it's a loud noise. And so most of the recordings I would catch would be me sleep talking or moving in my sleep. Sometimes it would catch my fan all night, and that would be annoying. But I decided to use it in my parents' house in my bedroom, which turned out to be not a good idea. So what ended up happening was the headboard connected to my bed had bookshelves in it and had doors that would slide side to side, and I would let my phone sit inside of that while it charged overnight. And nothing woke me up in the middle of the night, but the next morning I sat up in bed and I unplugged my phone from the charger and I opened up the app to see if I had caught any recordings. And what ended up happening was I played it on speaker so that I could hear it. And of course there were some with me moving around in the bed sheets, and my parents have cats, so you could hear meowing. But the weirdest recording of all that I've ever had by using this app, you hear me mumbling something, and you can hear that I'm like away from the phone. Because my voice is kind of like just distant. You hear me mumbling, and then you hear my phone slide across my headboard like someone's moving it closer to them. And you hear a male voice whisper, "Get out." And it was a very stern voice of, you know, like, it was just freaky. It wasn't like a, I'm going to hurt you, but it was a stern voice of, get out, because I don't want you here right now. You know, maybe come back later, but right now, no. And I was just shocked because my dad works weird hours and he wasn't home that night. It was just my sister and my mom home. I don't have any brothers. There was no way it could have been me, because again, you hear me mumbling something in the other direction and then the phone move. It was just so weird. And then I had my sister listen to it, and she ended up telling me that her friends decided to mess with a Ouija board on the third story bathroom. And I was like, well, probably not the best idea, because you don't know what you brought in, because like nothing mean, you know, everything that had happened up until that point had indicated that it was a child messing with us. And it was never mean, you know, never wanted us to leave. It just wanted to play. And then I get this recording. We didn't bless the house or anything, but nothing happened after that. And so I'm hoping or I'm thinking that it just kind of left after a while. I'm not really sure, but it was definitely the weirdest experience. that I've had. And so I thought I'd just call in and share it with you. So thank you. Have a great day.
You going to download that one and try it tonight?
Yeah, never. No, I enjoy sleeping.
I don't even think I want to know if I sleep talk what I say, more or less what something else is saying in my room with me. I would guess that probably the Ouija board, since it did seem to be a fairly isolated incident, probably had something to do with that. And I'm hoping that, just like she said, that it's kind of calmed down and maybe whatever it is that was there is now gone. But I think that she probably connected the dots as to the source of it. Have you ever, as we're getting to, the audience is getting to know you, and I don't think I've ever even asked you this question off the air, have you ever used a Ouija board?
No.
As a kid? Never?
No. I think the closest that I got to firsthand experience of Ouija board stories, history, situations, Jumanji, the movie Jumanji.
It's not a Ouija board.
I was trying to prove how much of an expert I am not.
Okay.
I am not.
Other stuff that kids played that we've heard stories of on this show that seem to sometimes conjure up things. Bloody Mary. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. I know these were terms that I remember kids in our neck of the woods in Wisconsin playing. I never participated. Did you ever participate in any of those games of anything of that sort?
It's funny because a couple of friends of mine did, and my mom actually, I don't think the word's reprimand, but she made it very clear that you don't crying bloody murder and you know, basically making a farce if you're not truly in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
She just from a very young age, she instilled in me to unless you are absolutely in danger, you do not make any unforeseen. Don't say things.
Yeah.
When you want bad stuff to happen. And but I absolutely heard and was the fly on the wall, for lack of a better term, of some of those. And I can think of going back to when I was 8, 9, 10 years old.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of kids would go play that stuff. I don't even know how you play some of these games, but I remember, you know, people saying, you know, over at so-and-so's house this weekend, we played that game. We're light as a feather, stiff as a board. And they'd be like, how did that even work? And, you know, some people would claim stuff happened. Some people wouldn't claim it happened. The thing is, we get calls on the show from adults, people our age, who are talking about 1992, and they swear to God that they played the game. And what they said when they got back to school the next day, that we all kind of thought, well, yeah, that's a great story, actually happened. As adults, they still stand by some of these stories. So it really makes you wonder, you know, what did happen in some of these cases where the parents just really wrote everything off as just being, you know, kids being kids.
For me, I think now more than ever, there is, because, I mean, we're at a certain age, both of us, where it's kind of the crossing of you know, your dad, your grandparents, your great grandparents. Oh, back in my day, or mm-hmm. back when I was young, and we're somewhat at the transitional period of kind of a whole new crop of people where everything is. You couldn't Google, okay? You couldn't Google back then. You just had to kind of go on your memory and what happened. Whereas now, something happens, you can Google and mm-hmm. you can listen to this show. So I absolutely think that it was a little bit more. You had to go out on a limb and say something. And for folks current day to stand by that as adults, it gives that much more validity to that.
Yeah. Now kids can take a selfie with the demons that they conjure up and post it on Instagram instantly. And then for a half hour, decide what sort of photo filter they'd like to put on the demon. And maybe even an animated GIF or something with it as well.
It was a golden retriever demon. It was the dog filter. Hashtag blessed.
And it's like, why did you, do you have the master of this photo? Oh, why would I keep that? I wanted to add all these filters to it.
Can we take another one? Come on, stick your tongue out. Show us what happened. Look, you can catch the pizzas. Catch the pizzas. Come on. Try to beat me. I was in double digits. You only got 7.
Let's do one more call before we wrap up the show for today. Hi, you're on the air.
This is Jen from West Michigan. I love listening to your show, and I've been listening to it long enough that I realize that I'm strong enough to pass along my own story. Also, there was just a huge thunderclap as I sat down to call you, so it's either great timing or I'm in a lot of trouble. Anyways, my story is not so much spectral as it is otherworldly, and I wanted to pass it along. I had a younger sister, 4 years younger than I, who took her life on April 25th, 2016. And I know I'm not alone, and you can't understand the level of grief, but I know there's many people out there. My sister and I were not close most of our lives. We were radically, completely different in every way, shape, and form. But December of 2015, we actually started becoming closer. And I don't know if that was a sign of what was to come or if I should just count my lucky blessings. April 24th, my sister and I talked for the last time, and sometime before midnight, she took her life. And for reasons we still don't know, and that's the way it will just be. For probably 2 weeks after my sister's funeral, I have absolutely no recollection as to what was going on. I was more concerned about my mom, who was in assisted living, and concerned about my dad, who was on the other side of the country, and doing things like lesson planning for my fourth graders. And you don't slow down to actually stop and think about things until you realize there's no food in the house and you haven't paid bills, and the reality of life steps back in. And so I decided on a rip-snorting 10:30 p.m. Friday night, I really needed to get to the grocery store, just if anything, for something to do to get my mind off everything else that was going on. So 10:30 on a Friday night, and I'm walking through a large grocery store here in a lovely, beautiful West Michigan. And I really have no purpose other than just to be distracted. And there was a young father with a shiny wedding band and a beautiful toddler in the grocery cart with him. And I knew I was sort of staring off, and not really with a plan in my mind, just sort of staring. And this young father and his daughter, beautiful cherubic daughter, were just talking and cooing to each other. And I remember thinking, wow, what's their family story? Who are they? Does he realize how lucky he is to have her? And I guess the father must have caught me sort of making eyes and smiling, which was the first time I probably smiled in 2 weeks. And the little girl sort of looked at me sort of over her shoulder and sort of waved at me in that sort of puppetry sort of wave, and hi. And so I just sort of responded hi, and just was so glad that there was life at that moment. And the father and the little girl sort of kept going by me, and the little girl and I just sort of looked at each other for a moment. And just as the little girl passed by me, she sort of mimicked picking up the telephone. She didn't reach for her father's cell phone, but like what we would consider a rotary telephone, sort of that full hand around the grip of a phone sort of motion. And she sort of began to talk into a phone. And the dad sort of looked at me and looked at her and said, honey, who are you talking to? And this beautiful little angel of a girl just kind of kept chattering away. And the little girl looked right at her father and said, Jody, Daddy. Now, it's not that my sister's name is terribly uncommon. It's just that you don't hear a lot of Jodys. And 2 weeks after my sister taking her life, you don't expect a child to look at you and look at her father and say, it's Daddy. It's Jody. And the father looked at his daughter and looked at me and said, oh, you know, just kids, honey, you don't know any Jody. And she looked right at me and extended her hand. And what happened next, if I didn't already have a time frozen moment, my sister could never pronounce my name growing up. She couldn't say Jenny. She said Nene. And at that moment, she extended her hand as if she was offering me a telephone, and she said, it's for you, Nene. And I don't know if the world stopped, if my heart stopped, or if suddenly I didn't know what to believe. But the dad just shook his head and kind of said, kids. And smiled and chuckled, and I literally, the tears just started to flow right then and there in the middle of a grocery store on a Friday night. And I literally had to compose myself, and I just sort of gently touched him on the forearm, and I said, actually, my younger sister, Jody, just took her life 2 weeks ago. And he just sort of cocked his head a little and said, okay, well, that's weird. And not in a degrading way, but just sort of a, huh, what just happened here sort of moment. And then the little girl just sort of went back to staring at the rest of the store and looking at her dad and cooing and chattering and being a toddler in a cart. I don't know what happened at that moment, but at that very moment, whatever differences my sister and I had, most of our lives were gone. And 2 weeks after losing my sister, at that moment, I feel like I had her again. So to my badass sister, who stopped in to say hello in a grocery store one night, I heard you loud and clear. And I guess for others out there in the real world that wonder if these things can truly happen, they truly can happen. So Tony and Jenny, I think you guys are great. I love the banter on your show. I just became an EPP member tonight. Yay. So cheers. Thanks for what you do. Have a great night and take care. Bye-bye.
You know, some stories that we get, I think, are just, they don't even really need any sort of explanation or analyzation. They really just completely speak for themselves as far as what happened.
I don't know if you can hear me when we're listening to those callers, but
I can't. No,
I was almost rooting for her.
Sure.
Like that, she's going to, and then she did.
Yeah. It's one of those things, yeah, where it's just it goes in the direction you're hoping it's going to go in, and it went in that direction, and it ended in a very positive way. So it's good. While I love the dark and scary and weird twisted stories, but every once in a while you kind of need to have a good positive one sprinkled in there to kind of balance it out. And I think that was certainly one of them. So thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us here tonight on the program. So there you go. You survived an episode.
I'm going to go out to every location now and and become a investigative reporter. All of these callers tonight that they've shared their stories, it's one of those things that it's almost that reassurance you get,
yeah,
where you think that didn't happen, and then you tune in and you hear and you listen to more. Yes, it absolutely did.
Yeah.
So now I appreciate you inviting me onto the show, because now I have a opportunity to voice my my stories and memories, mm-hmm, and to have others like us that it is absolutely happening, and it's fun to share the stories.
It is. It really is. That will wrap up our program for the evening. Thank you, Sean. It's going to take me a while to get used to calling you that.
Weird.
It's very
still
weird.
Really weird.
That's the
really
most paranormal
weird
thing about this night for me, is calling you Sean. So thank you for joining us on the program tonight. And thank you guys for calling in and sharing your ghost stories with us. If you like the show, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes at ghostpodcast.com. Almost 200 of them there now to download and binge away on. All right. Until next time, thanks, everybody, for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.